Hi, I'm Brittany Ashley, your host of Breaking Norms, Building Dreams, your guide through this transformative journey in both business and life. This is your place crafted for dreamers, doers, or anyone who has been told they can't. Get ready as we challenge those narratives together. You're tuning in live to the United Public Radio Network, airing on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. We are streaming on all the popular platforms every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join me for a candid and thought-provoking conversation celebrating your unique journey because you are worth it. Hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here with you on a Monday. Welcome to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. I'm your host, Brittany Ashley, and we are broadcasting live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Get ready to escape the routine and join us for the next hour as we break norms and build dreams with Megan. I'm so excited to have Megan on with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So excited. Yeah, thanks for coming. So excited. We have so many questions to go through and obviously a general chat, but let's tell everybody who Megan is. I'll do a quick introduction and then you can tell us more.
Sure.
Everyone, please meet Megan, a seasoned leader in operational management for over 15 years, whose journey embodies the essence of empowerment and belief in others. Through her inspiring leadership, she has not only cultivated growth in individuals, but also installed unwavering faith in their abilities. Megan's online presence resonates as a beacon of inclusivity, advocacy of plus-size fashion, body positivity, and the importance of self-confidence in achieving one's dreams. Love it, because it all resonates too with the show. Her passion for uplifting others has touched countless lives, ignited flames of potential, and the sparks and confidence. With a firm conviction that everyone possesses the ability to shine, Megan has found success in network marketing, building, and thriving side businesses. Maybe you can tell us more, Megan. I know it goes on more, but I don't want everyone to be like, oh. I'm so excited to have you, though.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We met, just so all the listeners know, we only met in like November. Mm-hmm. And I just love Megan's passion and I just loved your story. And I just felt like we were in alignment so much. That's why I wanted you on the show. As I already said, all the great, amazing things about you. Maybe tell us more.
So I'm Megan. I grew up over on the Lower Mainland, so in the Vancouver area. And I've just always been interested in leadership. It's always been a passion of mine. My dad is a very good leader in his industry. And so it's always something that I've been instilled in. And as I've grown within my career and really just taken what I've learned and grown with it, leadership has just become such a passion of mine. I love it. I love teaching other people. I love reading about it. I love listening to other people's stories. And I get so excited when I get to talk about leadership. I remember having one of these colleagues in my office one day and we were just talking about some stuff. He was new into a leadership role and he came in and he was brainstorming with me and I was kind of giving him advice and going back and forth. And I just remember him smiling and I was like, what are you smiling at? And he's like, the second that we stop talking kind of about work, but you start talking about leadership and like helping me grow, he's like, you're just light up the room. And I'll never forget that comment because it's always held so close to my heart because it's so true. And I just truly love leadership. And so as I've grown within my career, I also started kind of wanting to be on the social media aspect of things. Mm-hmm. And really diving into that with plus size fashion was kind of how it all started. And ever since I've been able to do that, I've been able to connect with so many more people and I feel inspired by a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And so my hope is to always inspire others and also have fun. I want to have a lot of fun.
I love that. Maybe tell a little bit more about your experience in operational management and how it kind of led you to where you are today. I know we touched a bit more, but let's dig in deeper on that. Because as I mentioned, I met you at Uplift and we chatted a little bit on that. And also too, a bit about toxic environments a little bit. We tried a lot on different things.
It was a busy dinner. So when I graduated high school, I'm going to go back, like, way back here. Not too far back. I'm not that old. But when I graduated, I had the dream that I would actually be a police officer. And that's what I always thought I was going to be. And if you even look at, like, my grade 12 yearbooks, they say, good luck becoming a police officer. And like, everyone knew that that's what I was going to do. Obviously things changed and life took a different course and I had to change that path and I couldn't go to school right away and all that kind of stuff. So I started actually working at a Rogers video store, which is taking us back because those don't even exist anymore.
No, they don't.
And I became a manager at one of those stores and I just had a lot of fun and it quickly became like creating fun events with the team and really watching people grow in there. And I was only 18 at the time. And so I had a lot of learning to do, obviously. And then about 2 years after that, I went into a different industry because one of my customers actually recruited me and he said, come work for us. We'd love to have you. And so I figured, you know what? Movies are on their way out, DVDs. This might be a good opportunity. So I did. And I ended up staying there for 10 years. And I started with like very admin entry level position. Mm-hmm. And by the time I left, I was the director of operations and production. So I wish I could fully explain the day that I knew that this was my growth pattern, but it just kind of flowed. And I was always the person, and it's funny because I'm still friends with that boss to this day. I actually saw him this morning, which is very ironic. And he still says to this day, you just made your own role. You just kept saying, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. Yeah. And I always wanted to take something and then make it better and take a task. And what can we do to make this better? How can we make this more efficient? Where can we implement a process here? And so as I started to learn all those things and put myself through some courses at BCIT and some other conferences that I would go to and take a lot of those learnings and implement them within my organization, I was thankful because I had a good boss that allowed me to do these things. He was like, sure, go for it. I don't want to do it. So that allowed me to grow into operations. I spent 10 years within that organization and I kind of felt things had changed there. So I felt it was time to make another change. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought I was going to get out of that industry. Lo and behold, 3 months later, I didn't. And I went back and went in as a director of operations and then led a stainless steel team there for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing it all over again at another organization. So I love coming in and building things and building a team and finding leaders that don't think they can be leaders and don't think they possess those skills and spot them and say, I see that person. They have the potential. They just need to believe in themselves.
Yeah, I love that. There's a common question I think that is usually asked, do you believe leaders are born or that leaders are just natural?
Mm-hmm. I think both. I know that's probably like not the best answer, but I think some people are definitely born with it. They're just born to be natural leaders. Like it's just who they are. But I think some people can become that leader if it's what they want, if it's what they're in their heart is they believe that leadership is for them and that they can make a difference.
Yeah.
If you don't feel like you can make a difference or you don't believe in a lot of the studies or investing in other people, because some people don't, they just think it's kind of a bunch of whatever. And it's like, it's not, but if you believe in it, then anyone can become a leader.
Mm-hmm. And I think it comes to like from like for me with passion, like I just love seeing people thrive. Like I want to build people up then build them down. And so building those foundations of support is like, I get excited to do that. Like I'm still mastering things as it is building creative dynamics, but just like getting insight from the team. Like it's just not me building a business. I look to them too on how to build business because I want to grow as an owner, as a founder, as a leader too. And I can't grow without getting that extra feedback from the team.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's that difference between management and leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to call myself a leader. I never really say I'm a manager. I have management duties, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the hard stuff that no one ever actually wants to deal with. But I do believe for me is I lead people to success. I'll lead your organization to a successful shop or place of business or whatever that looks like. Because when you're a manager, you're just kind of managing them each day. And you're bringing people together. Making the organization, and we're going to do it together. And then we're all going to be proud of the outcome at the end. I think is really exciting.
And I find individuals thrive so much more with that kind of, not, I want to say mindset, but environment. Because it ends up showing that it's a safe place. People can ask curious questions. They can actually thrive and know that, like, no dumb questions, they feel really comfortable to come to you as the quote unquote manager than not. I personally don't even like calling myself manager, owner, or whichever. I know there's been a few times where people have been like, no, you own the business, like you, but I always say we, and I'm like, because I truly believe I wouldn't be able to get this far if it wasn't for my team. And I do think managers, employers need to have that mind shift, because I was actually just talking to somebody, won't name names, but they are struggling right now in their organization because management is just running on dictatorship and pretty much power tripping, at say the least, and just needs to be that upper hand of, I run the show, you better listen to me, and the fear factoring. And I don't think we can build a successful business organization or even attracting the right clients that we want if we're basing it all on fear.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And you always want people to feel safe. And if they're not feeling safe in their workplace, they're not going to talk to you, and you're going to lose great people. And that happens so much. I see it, and I've heard it from my own friends. I've heard it from colleagues. I've heard it all over the place. And if I can have somebody walk into my office and be completely vulnerable and let me know what's going on or share their ideas, and they're going to share the ideas and not be scared that I won't like them or that they do sound stupid or whatever that looks like, because I've done my fair share of ideas, and I'm like, well, that was a bust. Like, that did not work out. And I'll never forget. There was this one time at my old company when I was younger, and my boss, the one I was talking about earlier, he said, sure, if you want to try, you give that a shot. Let me know how it goes. I'm like, okay. And I was so gung-ho. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I remember about 6 months later, and I walked in his office. I'm like, yeah, that didn't work. And he just laughed. And he's like, oh, well, whatever. But if you don't have that connection with your leadership team or your direct report, I don't know. It's kind of scary to me, to be honest, because it's so important to me. And for me to have that relationship with my boss is very important. I want to feel safe coming to somebody, even in everyday life, like with our friendships and our relationships, like we want to feel in a safe place. And if we're not, I always say to people, if you don't feel that way, then you need to find somewhere there is, because there's great places out there that will treat you that way.
100%. Like, I swear I still have PTSD on working in a 9-to-5 just because of the negative experience that I had to go through. And so I know, like, before going down this avenue of entrepreneurship, I just remember like going to like interviews after maternity leave and all these things. I just had like instant anxiety and just like shut down. Like, even if I heard like the phone ring, I'd be like, oh my goodness, and just close up. And I wouldn't even feel like, at the end of the day, it's like an abusive relationship.
Yep.
But it's an abusive workplace. And so how do you, like, the leadership piece is so big. And I really hope anybody listening to this, even if you think that you're not good enough to be a manager, which I really think everybody can be, taking different leadership courses or classes just to kind of build that confidence in yourself. I know I'm still slowly stepping into it. And what does that look like? And it's okay to fail. Mm-hmm. I'm so transparent with everybody on my team that sometimes people are like, oh, that you're so transparent. It's like, well, I want everyone to like build each other up. I'm building this business all together. And so I really would like to hear your intake or their intake and so forth. Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations or tips for anybody who wants to kind of navigate more in like the leadership role setting?
Mm-hmm. I think first and foremost is everyone needs to know is you don't need to have a title to be a leader. So yes. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not a manager or I'm not a supervisor or whatever the titles are that you have there. Mm. It doesn't matter. You can be an apprentice. You can be an entry level person. You can be whatever seat you want on your ladder. You can be a leader. So, mm-hmm. And those leaders are the ones that the bosses or your leaders will spot you because you're doing leadership stuff without even realizing you're probably doing it.
Mm-hmm.
When you pick up on those, that's when I personally will see people and say, hey, I want to send you on this course.
Yeah.
I want you to go discover this about yourself because they might not see it. And mm-hmm. It took me even a long time to realize what type of leader I was. Mm-hmm. And I worked with somebody and I think I was probably like 28. And I, to this day, will never forget it because he sent me a YouTube clip of a movie. And it was about being a leader. And he said, mm-hmm. basically in there, it was like, people are watching you. People are following you. Don't give up. You mm-hmm. don't even see it. And people are watching you. And he was like, he wanted me to remember that because I was going through a hard time at that moment and almost like doubting myself as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was in that moment that I was like, yes, like this is what I was born to do. And I truly feel that. And that's why I inspire other people. And my suggestion would be is going to courses.
Mm-hmm.
I went and did this one course. I don't know, am I allowed to plug in people? Am I allowed to say where I did stuff?
Okay.
It was at the Justin's Institute, which a lot of people don't think is a place you can go for courses because it's usually around policing and fire and stuff, but they actually have an entire leadership program.
Oh, neat.
And I really love it. The first course I ever took, though, there that you have to take is called Lead Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so eye-opening to me. It was 3 days, and it made me realize what type of person I am and what type of leader I am. And mm-hmm. then the second course was Lead Others. And it was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so every time I have aspiring leaders or people that I want to invest in, I send mm-hmm. them on those two courses because it teaches you so much about yourself. And I think doing a lot of self-discovery, regardless of what you want to do in your life, is looking at yourself and seeing what holds true to you and being that authentic person.
That's so true. So it's only 3-day course or, that's pretty.
Yeah. And it's
online.
Overly expensive either. So, which is nice.
Amazing. Is it all online or if anyone?
Yeah, you can do it in online or in person. I did it in person. Cause it was years ago before kind of the online stuff took off. But yeah, you can do it online too.
Oh, amazing. Maybe I'll look into it. And I find, like I was just saying this to a few guests on the show last week and just who will be coming in the future, like this whole journey for the radio show is like self-discovery for myself and like talking about things that usually I'm pretty quiet about. And it's like my own journey of figuring out what kind of leader I'm stepping into because you all have different leadership, I think. What I'm trying to think of the word, like you kind of come up in leadership roles in different ways. I'm always like the quiet one. So I'm always like in the background, but I'm very like such a person about advocacy on certain like neurodiversity, human trafficking, sexual exploitation. Like I'm like stepping more into that of the rights of what we should be known to us as a person and all those things. And so it's just like re-evolving myself as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I don't think a lot of people are focused on that. So I think you being able to do that and then share what you learn is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, go ahead.
You know, for me, a lot of it has been women in leadership. Because mm-hmm. obviously that's something we talk about. And we're just, you know, coming off the tail end of International Women's Day on Friday. And it was just, it's always such a powerful day for me because I have always worked in a male-dominated industry, and so it's always been a challenge for me to prove my worth or prove what I can do, and I struggled. I struggled a lot, and there were lots of people that have doubted me. There was lots of people I worked with in the industry that wouldn't even listen to me. You know, I got told one time, I don't think you know what you're talking about. Is there a guy here I can talk to? And I remember just looking and like being dead in the face. And I'll never forget, because at that time, my boss and the service manager at the time both walked out at the exact same time because they heard that comment. And they're like, everything she just said is correct. So maybe you should listen to her. But in fact, we actually don't want to work with you now, so you can go on your way. And so it was just having that support.
Yeah.
Meant a lot, and having those allies of having men support you as a woman in leadership is so empowering. And so that's one thing that I've really, really wanted to focus on as I continue to grow, is for women and young girls that are aspiring to do whatever they want to do, is just, you can do it. And don't let those negative comments, because I easily could have let that rattle me and just let it brought me down. And I just couldn't. And I have. Don't get me wrong. We've all let those comments get to us. But as I've gotten older and learned more and become more confident in who I am, it's become easier to just let it go.
Yeah. And those kind of comments are so hard when you're like, because I was in the tech industry for a long time. It's very male dominant as well. And I remember even going in for an interview before on, what is it? It's like in the Navy. So very like Babcock, I believe it was called, for the Navy ship. And I just remember being like horrified of like just that anxiety of feeling like I was not good enough to be there. And so that's why I really hope to cultivate like such a safe place, a safe, inclusive place, not just on the team, but like all around me, because I just feel like we get it. It's a rough world out there. Let's be honest. There's so much negativity out there and pushing people down and not building each other up where we should be building each other up. And so like International Women's Day, I know it's like the one day, and it's an amazing day, but I wish it was more often, because I feel like it's like such a, like, yeah, everyone celebrate, but then it's like, let's push it back underneath a little bit. So what are other ways can we celebrate women, and empower them on a daily, monthly basis, so they know that they have the right to be advocates for themselves?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pieces is having that support from men. I mean, we can support each other, and women, I think we still have a long way to go. I still think there's a lot of women that aren't necessarily the friendliest either, and a lot of negative comments come from women too. It's not just men, but having the support of men, especially in businesses, and having women sit at a leadership table or whatever that agenda or that ladder looks like, is having women sit in those seats is so important, because people see that. They want people to be able to rise, or having diversity within an organization, because what I think about and how I see things is completely different than the person sitting beside me. So having a team that can feel safe to say their ideas and then say, well, maybe I don't see it that way, but here's how I see it. And kind of having that back and forth, that's the best type of leadership table you're ever gonna have. And I remember my past too, again, sitting with one of my bosses and being like, well, I don't agree with that. And he's like, okay, let me hear your point. And so we, you know, that back and forth, but I always felt safe to say those things.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, I'm at the wrong table. And so I think having the support of everyone to be able to grow each other is so crucial. And maybe it starts with, you know, your friendship levels, is not being around friends that are going to compete with you.
Yeah.
That's something I've had to learn too. And giving people that positive feedback, and don't be afraid to say, hey, can I give you some constructive feedback, or can I give this to you? Because I know I've been guilty of being like, yeah, I guess I shouldn't have said it that way, or, oh, it is coming across this way, because I'm not perfect either, by any means.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people have come back to me and said, hey, can I just give you this, you know, piece of advice or just some constructive feedback? And I take it and I listen to it. And maybe I'm not going to agree with it, and that's okay. But maybe I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right. But I think we're so scared to also give that, because people can get their backs up very easily.
Yeah.
Which is human nature. We do it. But when you have that, again, that safety, it's okay to give that feedback to each other. Again, just like in any kind of relationships, is having that compromise and talking to each other, right? So it's the same kind of skills that we learn in our friendships, relationships, you need to use inside work too.
100%. And I feel like the more we feel like we belong at a table, then we're going to see that cultivation thrives even further than most would even expected. Mm-hmm. I'm also, because I wear many hats, because I do take on like some clients here and there. So I'm also like an operational manager. I've always been calling myself that, but I was actually given the title and I was like, oh, I can call myself that. But just like knowing though that I can go to that owner in the business, that I'm just, I feel like I'm heard. I'm feel like it's a different level of like, oh, you want my advice? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you get taken back from it, but then it's like a piece of feeling empowered again, because you're taken away from so much sometimes if you were maybe in a negative work environment. So it's like building up those confident pieces to who you are to stand up on your two feet and be like, hey, I don't agree with this because of X, Y, and Z. Do you mind if we do something else here? And it's also how you present it. Like if you're going to like be a, you know, about it, then obviously it's not going to be received well. So it's also thinking how you're communicating to with the effective criticism. And I'm still working on it. I'm like the kind of person that doesn't like controversy.
That's right. Most people don't.
Like put the head down, all is good kind of situation. But you get into those moments and you have to have those hard conversations. So thinking about how you can really articulate that so it doesn't come from offensive, because I don't want to offend anyone ever.
Yeah.
But sometimes I could say something because I might not know the proper word.
Yeah.
Just goes on this whirlwind of a situation.
Mm-hmm. I think too is, people react. We are reactors. That, again, human nature, right? We react. And I tell everybody, when you get an email or you get a phone call or whatever it is, especially an email, and it upsets you, do not respond right away, or write the email and save it in your drafts and then go back to it the next day and see if that's still how you feel. And I personally do that, because there is times that it's like, you know, you just want to fire back, but later you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said it like that, or I could have come about this from a different angle. And we let our emotions get the best of us.
Yes.
And I'm very, very emotional over certain things. So sometimes it just like hits my heartstrings, or if I'm going through something in life that maybe other people don't know, it's going to just hit me differently. And so I try to always make sure I'm not reactive. People come into my office, because that sometimes people are like, yeah, but what if they say it in front of your face? And then just say, I hear what you're saying, but I need time to think about this. I'll get back to you, and just end the conversation, but be respectful of what they're saying.
Yes. And I feel like too, if you're getting that message too, and someone's asking you to give that space, I think we need to come from a level of like, okay, they just need that minute to process. Because everyone processes differently. So giving that safe space for somebody to process and then wait for them to respond, I think we should start saying that that's okay. But I find like, because we're always on like, we're 100 miles a minute, let's get things going over here. We want that reaction time so we can move on to the next thing. I'm even learning to myself to like take a step back and think about things a bit differently. Maybe it was also along the whole coaching journey as well, that I've learned to try to, instead of just go full in, because I am emotional. let's be honest. So how do you take that step back? And like I just told you about the whole daycare finasco. Like obviously, like especially when you're like tied, like your kid's there or you're going through those things, mama bear comes over you and you're just like, obviously you want to go right into emotion state because that's your baby. So it's just like, okay, let's take a step back and let's like play the cards out differently. So then it also that you come across too, because I don't want to come across as rude or anything like that. I really want to always be like professional, kind. So taking that step back or that extra moment really goes a long way.
Yeah. I remember I was sitting in a meeting and there was like probably 10 to 12 people in this meeting. And it was just, there was lots going on in the organization at the time. And I just had, my plate was beyond full. Like I just, I was getting to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm about to break. And then it was that day I broke. But in that meeting, people had asked me a few questions. I answered them. And then this one person just kind of kept coming at me. And I was like, look, I don't have answers for you right now. I need to stop this meeting because I can't do this right now. So we're going to, you know, side table everything. Let's everyone get back to work. And we'll have another meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I'll be able to answer all your guys' questions. If you could please send them to me in an email now, I'll make sure I'm prepared for you tomorrow. And I remember, and everyone's like, okay. And they left. And I remember like closing the blinds in the room and just like, whoosh, and just like letting it all out. Because I was like, I don't want to do this in front of 12 people, but I need to let it out. And when I get to that point for myself, I know that it's like, I just need to let it all out. And then I'll feel better. My brain is clear. We all have something that we need to do to allow for that emotion. And, you know, I go for walks or just take myself out of the office for 10 minutes or whatever that looks like for you. Some people read, some people go have a coffee or whatever that looks like. I think it's just so important to recognize what you need to be able to get to the next step. And we're all different. So it just depends on how you will recharge.
Mm-hmm. And being aware of that is so important. And then also communicating that too, and having those open channels, I think will help everyone have a full understanding. Mm-hmm. And also if you're the receiver of it, being open to it, being like, you know what, they just need a few minutes. Like there's been times, like, cause my team knows right now, just things are chaos. And so sometimes I work on the weekends and I do send them a message and they're like, Brett, that are not working now. I'm like, no. You're like, you don't need to respond to me. I need to get this out or else I will forget.
Yeah.
And they just now know, like, oh, it's just Brittany again pinging me on the weekend. She doesn't need to, I don't need to respond to her. It's just her doing her thing. I'll respond on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's just having that open dialogue will go so much further.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's where it's really important with leadership as well, because you have to learn about your people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody works differently. Yep. Everybody's needs are different.
Mm-hmm.
People's reactions are different. And so as a leader, the most challenging part of being a leader is the people, is working mm-hmm. with the people, which is ironic because that's also the most fun. But it really is saying, okay, I need to deal with this and this is how this person is. So I'm going to come at it from this angle. And that honestly just comes with experience. That people have come in my office and said, hey, this is what's going on. I have to deal with this. And I'm like, okay, knowing this person, here's how I would deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had conversations where later I'll be told, oh, this is how I dealt with it. I'm like, okay, next time, this is how I would deal with it. And again, I'm not perfect. I've definitely dealt with things the wrong way as well. But again, that was my experience. So I've learned from those things, and really learning about people and the type of people that you have in your organization or around you will really help you grow and be a really good leader. And if you can learn yourself to be vulnerable, and that will get you connecting with everybody, you'll see them become vulnerable with you. And that's when the relationships really begin. If you ever have the chance to read the Brené Brown book, Dare to Lead, that changed my life.
So good.
It's so good. I tell everybody, like, I have a stack of them and just like hand them out to people.
My sister was trying to be one of the certification coaches, but she's not doing it anymore. So I was like, so sad. So that's how I like went on the adventure of like imposter syndrome. And now I'm going to do like resiliency coaching as well. The list is ending, never ending with me, because I'm always learning.
Always doing something, but always learning is one of the best things. And my dad recently retired and he said, well, what am I going to do? Just stop doing stuff? No, I'm going to keep learning and keep doing things. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. Cause it's true. I think you will never know everything ever. And kind of what you were talking about earlier with like those toxic work environments and the people, the dictatorship. Those are the people that think they know everything.
Yeah.
And you don't. And you don't know your people. You don't know what's going on. And you think you're so smart that you don't have to go to school anymore. You don't have to go to these conferences and learn these things. And I just truly don't believe that. I think we have so much to learn every day. And the world is changing. And we need to adapt. And we need to learn. And as new generations are coming into the workforce, it's like, okay, well, how am I going to work with these? Like, I hired someone the other day and I was like, I'll never forget. I looked at him like, oh my gosh, he was born when I graduated. And I was like, I never thought this day would come, because I remember, you know, as I was growing up in my, like, you know, 20s, working with some of the people, they were like, oh, you know, you were, I was graduating when you were born and all these things, and those people feeling, I'm like, oh my God, it happened.
I know, when those moments happen, you're like, ugh, I feel old.
I couldn't even believe it. I was like just sitting there in like a gaze. I was like, oh my God. But I have to learn that generation now, because
Let's dive into that piece. Just let me, because we're already a little bit past the 30-minute mark. Sometimes it happens so fast when you're having fun. For those just tuning in, you're listening to Breaking Norms, Building Dreams. We are live on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network, 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. Well, that's like going back to the new generation, because I keep stating, and I'm going to probably be like a broken record because I'm going to live by this, is that I think the newer generation, like even my kiddos going in, I think we're just going to see so many more entrepreneurs than anything. They're not going to want to go and work these 9-to-5 jobs. And it's not because they're lazy. It's not because whatever stereotype that you want to put on people, it's not that. It's just we've realized that life's short. We want to live life to its fullest. Have flexibility is the biggest thing as well. There's just so many other factors. So I just don't like people like labeling. Not everyone's going to probably be an entrepreneur, but you know, but you have to think of how that's going to look like in a regular 9-to-5 job as well. So what was is stats that were just coming out? Well, we've been talking about this regularly, but more hard facts of how well somebody will thrive in a regular 9-to-5 if we have a 4-day week.
Mm-hmm. I'm the biggest pusher for a 4-day week. I think that I see when we have long weekends, because they're stat holidays, you see the difference in people when they've had 3 days off. And I can't even like put it into words, because it's, I just sit back and I watch and I'm like, people are well rested. Mm-hmm. They have more fire under their butt. They get going. Mm-hmm. They got stuff to do. It's like, you're more engaged. Mm-hmm. I've watched it. There's a reason we have vacation. There's a reason why we need to have mental breaks. And I truly believe 4-day work weeks will change the workforce. I think you might see more 9-to-5ers with a 4-day work week, yep. and you'll be able to keep them in those businesses. And I just think productivity overall will skyrocket. I really do. I know how I feel when I have that extra day off. It's like you just, we all have chores. Most people, you know, some people have families, this, all these things. Like, I'm a single person, and I still have tons of things to do on the weekends. Yeah. So how do the parents feel, or the people that have all these responsibilities, that kind of idea, right? I'm already super busy. and those, that extra day, it makes a big difference. And I do believe that if organizations want to continue having all these, you know, future generations coming into the business, not necessarily going the entrepreneurial route, is we need to be more flexible with that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the guys today, before I was leaving, he's like, hey, it's my wife's birthday. I'd like to take her for lunch. Do you mind if I go for a longer lunch? I'm like, go for it. See you later.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff, right? So, but you know what? If I asked him to come in and work for an extra hour, because we got to get something out, he's going to do that because he's going to remember this. So it's that, you know, the balance.
100%. And I think that like the management style of like, oh, I can't let them do this, or I can't let them work from home because they're not going to get any work done. Some people actually do better work from home than in the office. I know I realize I'm like Chatty Cathy. Like, I get bored easily. And so I'm like one of those floaters where I'm like, what you could do now? What you want in this office? So me working from home was probably the most beneficial for me anyways. Right. So looking at that as a manager, owner, whichever, just thinking of how the generations are going to change the work life, and how, if you want to stay around for life in those and have those businesses, is how can you change those? Even corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Like corporate, like, I don't know about you, but I do not like wearing a suit. Meeting and going back into anything like that again, I'm like, ugh, I'd rather just like jeans.
Yeah, see, I love a good blazer. So
blazers. I love
a full suit. Actually, I've worn them. I do. I wear them though because I feel good. So, but I'm also in a world where if I want to wear jeans one day, I can wear jeans. The other day I was doing a lot in the back of the shop, so I knew I was getting dirty, so I just wore leggings and a hoodie. So yeah. I can do both, which yeah. I think is nice. But yes, I know what you're saying. Like, I could not go into a business where I have to dress a certain way every single day. That just seems exhausting to me. Yes. I want to have fun with my outfits, and that's what plays into my social media as well. And I have this one friend, and she says all the time, she's like, I love seeing your work outfits every day. And it's funny that we're having this conversation, because on Friday, one of the colleagues that I work with, he's like, oh, you're in casual clothes today. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get dirty probably. So I just wear, you know, dirty clothes. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, you know, you don't have to dress up every day, right? And I was like, yeah, I know, but like, I feel good. I like to do that. That's what makes me happy. So he's like, okay, that's fair enough. But if I had to do that every day, I don't think I would like it.
No, like don't get me wrong. I don't like to not dress up. I do. But I want to be comfortable when I'm working or sitting at a desk. If I'm not comfortable in like my
sitting
tight
at a desk, yes. Yeah.
I just want to be comfortable is the bottom line, comfortable and confident. So if you're not feeling confident in your like, which just leads me naturally into our next conversation that I wanted to talk about, body positivity and fashion, because that's something that you are really focusing on as well than just leadership. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if I'm not confident, then I don't think I'm thriving then. Like even going into networking events, like if I'm not comfortable in my shoes, I'm not going to want to stand there and talk to somebody because all I can think about is my shoes and I'm probably not even listening to what the person's saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree, because then I'm like, my feet are sore. I don't want to be here. I want to leave now. But I also believe it's your work environment. So yeah. You probably make your home very comfortable. It's cozy. Mm-hmm. I, again, am a big believer that you need to make work environments comfortable. Some mm-hmm. people disagree. They're like, no, I don't want it to be like that. It's like, okay. But I have personally felt and I have seen and been told that when someone has a nice work environment to come to, they mm-hmm. will work harder. They're more comfortable. And sometimes they'll work longer because they're not in a rush to get home. They're like, actually, I kind of like it here. It's cozy. So
yeah,
I want to be able to work in a place that I'm excited to have people come see me. I want to feel confident in my space. I want it to be how I feel better. Like I have a diffuser on my desk because I just like that, like cleanliness and like that kind of stuff. Right. So again, for organizations and leaders, I really think it's important to listen to your people. If they are saying, hey, can I get a standing desk? Can I get this? Can I get that? Like, yes, there's a balance between people just asking for things all the time, of course, but what could you do to make it just a little bit more better for them in their workspace every day? And maybe that will entice them to come to the office and not feel like they have to want to work from home every day. I personally, like, I like 50-50. Mm-hmm. I like being at the office, but I also like those days at home because you can, like you said, you can get a lot done.
Yeah.
So there's that balance.
I think I'm just so like, no, only working from home since 2017 now.
Oh, wow.
Like, what is, because I had my kiddo. So I was just kind of like, I just kind of started this. And I did do like the event industry a little bit. And that's another thing, thinking about that. I just remember being like, oh, I have to wear those shoes and I have to do like all these things. Like, I just want to like be here. That's where I realized I like behind the scenes building a business, all the marketing pieces and being out and about, like putting chairs around for events. And I also was sad that everybody was having fun and I was in the background.
FOMO.
I'm missing out on this party that I don't even know these people, but I want to be involved.
Oh, it's so good. But then I'm like that too, where it's like, okay, I want the invite, but I don't actually want to go. Just wanted to know I was invited.
Introvert, extrovert sometimes comes in a little bit there.
100%. And it depends like where the event is. Cause if there's like, I hate parallel parking. Like I can't do it. So if it's like, I check, you know, there's like those memes that go around, like, you know, you check out the parking environment first to see if you're going to accept it. That's me. That is 100% me.
That's so funny. Cause I do it too. I go on Google Maps and I'm like, okay, here's a parkade here, because yeah. we're in Victoria, so it's a lot of like downtown parking, and sometimes the parkades are full, so I have to parallel park. And yeah. like, nope. And so I'm always like mapping it around. I'm like, which one can I go to?
Exactly.
If I'm not, yeah. and like I remember the one day I decided not to park in a parkade because I was like, oh, it's cheap, don't want to pay. It's Sunday, and then got ticketed because apparently, I guess now we charge for parking now on Sundays. It's like oh, great way to get more people downtown Victoria.
Exactly. I guess I'm just so used to it because everywhere in Vancouver you have to pay for parking.
Yes, that's true. Victoria used to have like the Sundays to get like locals downtown, but it's just to the point where I think a lot of us are like, no, thank you. We'll go where it's free.
That's fair.
Well, maybe you can tell us more about the fashion part at a time. So we have about 15 minutes. So I want to give us some time to talk about that piece because I know you're so passionate about it.
Yeah, I just, it's funny because when I was younger, it was so hard to find plus size clothes. It was almost next to impossible, to be completely honest. It was always just buying clothes, not because you necessarily like them, but because that was all you could find. Mm-hmm. And it always really bothered me, especially in my early 20s when, you know, you're going out to the clubs and partying a lot more than I would now, but, and never having, you know, like outfits. And it was always such a challenge for me. And then eventually I started to find more stores actually in like Bellingham. Okay. The States seem to have more options a little bit. And then, you know, over the past probably like 10 years, I would say there's definitely been a lot more options out there. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as much as I would like, but more. And so as I started to find myself and do a lot of self-discovery for myself, when I was 29, I started going to therapy and because I was dealing with a lot of other things, but with learning so much about myself and really diving into a lot, I started to really just kind of recognize that it's not always about the body. It's not about your image. It's about how you feel.
Yeah.
And something I stress about all the time that I work out, you know, 5 to 6 days a week because it makes me feel good. And I dress the way I dress because I feel good that way.
Yeah.
I can go from wearing leggings and a sweatshirt to wearing a blazer and a suit because that's what I love to do. I like all the styles. And so as I started to find that confidence in me, a couple local businesses reached out to me, local shops, and they sold up to 3X, so extended sizing. And they asked me to do some pictures for them in their photo shoots. And as I started to do that and have fun, I really started to connect with the community. And I was like, you know, actually I'm having a lot of fun with this. Maybe I'll do some more, or maybe I'll start posting my outfits more often. And as I started to do that, I started to connect with other individuals that were saying like, hey, where'd you get that from? Or, oh, that looks so good. Or, you know, I could never wear something like that. And it's like, actually you can. It's about really just finding what makes you feel good. And there's lots of things that I try on. I'm like, oh no, I don't like this on me at all. But I think that's for every body type. It doesn't matter. There's lots of things that every body put something on and they're like, oh, this does not look good on me, or I don't feel good. And so as I started to, you know, recognize that about myself, I really wanted to start connecting more with community. And so social media, I was able to branch out a lot more with that. And so finding fashion finds and really encouraging people to do what makes them feel good. So I've always kind of been somebody that's enjoyed working out, but I go, you know, I'm a roller coaster. I go through and then I'm like gung-ho and then I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered. I hate cardio. I like lifting weights. But what I started to really recognize was finding movement and not necessarily calling it my workout, and I still do, but I like to find movement that makes me excited to move my body. And so it doesn't mean you have to go to a gym or run on a treadmill for 45 minutes or whatever that looks like to you. Is go for a hike or go swimming or go dancing or go to a spin class or whatever that looks like for you. How do you feel? Some people, yes, you want to lose weight or you want to get more muscle or whatever, but what is it that you want, not what society wants for you? And so when I move my body or dress my body, it's not about, do I need to lose weight or do I need to get a bigger size? It's about how does it make me feel?
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I go to my spin classes. I've been going regularly now. I found there's a local studio now here and it's women owned and it's just so empowering and you never feel judged when you go there. And it's not about, oh, you need to lose weight or you need to do this. It's about, we just want everyone to move their body. We just want everyone to have fun. And I encourage people saying, hey, even if you can't do this or do that, just show up.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So yeah. If you feel good, that's what matters.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I feel like we had Sarah Taylor on the show 2 weeks ago. I've forgotten. It's been a whirlwind. And we're talking about the confidence piece too, and that working out doesn't have to be working out to lose weight. It's just like you're just saying there. And it's so true because I think we as society, we put so much pressure on the gym. We're going to go lose weight, or I need to wear X, Y, and Z because this person's wearing it and I need to be, you know, it's just, we put a lot of pressure on it as society, and it's all about feeling confident in who you are and what you love to wear. Like, everyone's probably going to be like, Brittany wears that pink thing that my husband gave me for Christmas. I just love it because it's like so comfy.
Yeah,
and it makes me comfortable. But like, even too, like, I'm still finding what I feel comfortable and confident in after having two kids. And that's the thing. My body shifted significantly after my son, and it's still me trying to feel confident in like even wearing a swimsuit, and I don't. And it's me needing to find what I'll feel confident in myself to have that confidence to move forward in putting on a swimsuit.
And I think too that people need to remember, and I have to often remind myself, is like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to have confidence every single day. I'm going to have days, and that's okay. But just the next day, you know, have a shower or put on a little bit of makeup or put on a different outfit or whatever you need to kind of feel like that again.
Yeah.
When you feel that, that's when you shine. And when you can walk in and feeling like, hey, I'm my best self right now, that your confidence will shine.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have to worry so much. And for me, like, when I'm struggling with my mental health, if I don't move or move my body or get out there and do something or dress, that's when it just kind of goes downhill for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I notice myself start to shift, being like, I'm just kind of wearing the same outfit every day, or I don't really want to move my body, that's when it's almost like a trigger for me now to know, like, hey, you got to get going, because this could derail you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember my sister saying to me about a year ago, and I couldn't work out for whatever reason. She's like, I know how much working out is important for your mental health, so how can we get you there? So just that kind of stuff, right? Is, you know, bringing your community in to support you too. And they know those things about you, and it's important, because they'll say, hey, I haven't seen you. You want to go for a walk? Do you want to do stuff? And
so
again, kind of with the leadership stuff as well, is, you know, your life is, be vulnerable. It's okay to share that stuff and be safe with your safe community and find that group of people or that one person that can just be your safety.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that's so true, because like I was saying in the past shows that I don't like going to the gym because I don't feel confident in using a lot of the things there other than the treadmill. Like, I know how to use that, press the button. However, one time I almost fell off.
It happens to all of us.
But like, that's the only one that I feel the most confident in. So when I go to the gym, when I used to, that's the only thing I would do, but I wouldn't necessarily love it.
Right.
And so then I just would be like, oh yeah, it's new year, new me, start going. And then I just like didn't go again.
Yeah.
And but now I'm finding, if I have like that friend to come with me to show me to work at home, working out at home, I prefer work at home. And then they show me what things to do and not to do. I feel a little bit more confident, and then I'm willing to do it. But I'm also too, I need to be told, because I'm still a planner, like, you can't call me and be like, Brittany, we're working out today. Like, no, my brain does not work that way.
Like, it's hair washing day tomorrow, so no.
I'm like, I need like a 2-day minimum or something, or us plan it out weekly if that's what we're doing, because that's how I work. And especially little ones, I do put myself on the back burner. So if we want to do those kind of workouts or walks or whatever, I'm open to it, but I really mentally need to like prepare in advance, because then I can like segment it in.
I think just like for me personally, I schedule them just as I would a meeting. They're in my calendar, so I know tonight at 6:20 p.m. I have spin class and it's my meeting. And that was the best way that I could do it. And I also started scheduling classes, because then you feel guilty canceling, because one, you'll have to pay for it. So you may as well go. And two, it just kind of holds you without accountability. I'm also fortunate. One of my best friends is a personal trainer, so she has a great studio, but I've been working out there for years as well. And so I've seen so many people get so much more confidence working out with a personal trainer, or even somebody like virtual. They'll do virtual workouts with you from your house, because they're teaching you how to do things properly, but then you also kind of get that one-to-one, and you can learn how to do things in the gym if you do want to go by yourself, or if you want to have at-home workouts. They're more available to you because you know what to do. You're like, okay, I know how to do this because I've done it before. So I think it's trying to figure out what you want to do, what you enjoy, and then how can I make that happen?
Yes, 100%. Like, I found out that I love kickboxing. I love it. I had to stop after finding out about my son, but it's something that I know that I want to get back into. And so finding those little things that you maybe try something new, even like a drop-in or something, just to see if you like it. Like, I've been told to like do yoga. I'm like, I don't see myself doing yoga. But I'm like, maybe I, instead of just saying I don't know, maybe put like the yes, I'll try it once. Get a little bit more of the comfort zone, and then then make that executive decision, because who knows, maybe that'll be like my new thing that I really love.
Exactly. And I would suggest, if you're trying something for the first time, bring a friend.
Yes.
Because then that kind of intimidation feeling, because I felt it, and I know a lot of people do. And also, you just have somebody that, you know, if you don't know where you're going fully, you kind of just do it together. Again, it's like going to an event and you can't find parking. It's that anxiety, right? You're going to get that anxious feeling. So bring a friend.
Yeah.
A lot of studios too, they'll do like 2-for-1 so that they get more people in, and you can bring a friend, just ask them and they'll do it.
That's so true.
I shouldn't say that. Well, most of them would do it. But yeah, every time I try to do something new, I make sure I bring a friend, and I make sure I bring the friend that I am comfortable with, and that I know I can say, I can't do this, or this is too hard, or how can you help me? Like, again, I think one thing too, you know, with everything in life, whether it's moving your body or work or anything, is don't be afraid to ask for help. So if you need help because the weights are too heavy, or if you need help because you don't know how to deal with something at work, or whatever that looks like, there's no shame in asking for help. And I wish I had learned that a long time ago, and learned that it's okay to ask for help. And so when I go, you know, if I go for like a hike, and it's a big hike, and I'll be like, hey, can someone take some stuff out of my pack? It's really heavy. Like, I need help. And so, you know, my friends will take some of the weight off my back, that kind of thing, right? So just don't be afraid to ask for that stuff. And because there's people here that want to support you, they want to see you do well, and they want to see you reach your goals. So
love that. I was going to say, because I was just looking at the time, because we're almost out of time. Is there any last advice or anything you want to share to the listeners before we jump off?
Yeah, I would say my biggest thing that I've really just been instilling in myself and others lately is just don't give up on yourself. You got this. Whatever you want to go after in life, if you want to, you know, be an entrepreneur, if you want to climb that corporate ladder, if you want to be a stay-at-home parent, or whatever that looks like in your life, what makes you happy? Because life is far too short, and our happiness is what matters at the end of the day. So just do what fills your heart every day, and no matter what it is, you got it. You'll be okay.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you, Megan, for coming on the show. I'm so excited that you came on. You're always welcome back. And thank you for everyone listening. Thank you, everyone in the chat room, and to the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network. Next week, come back as Nadine is coming back in the show, and we actually will have Caroline, and we're talking about imposter syndrome and self-doubt. So with that, until next week, remember your journey. It's unique and your worth is unquestionable. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.